Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Reputation Igniter Podcast. And we are just super excited. I'm pumped. Today's guest is Kelly McKay. Welcome, Kelly. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Chris. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we are excited to dive into some great aspects of your HVAC industry business today. And, you know, as always on the Reputation Igniter Podcast, our focus is on helping you build an incredible reputation, whether that's offline and online. There we go. There's a lot. I'm going to cut that whole thing out and we're going to go back.
Just roll with it.
Just roll with it, right? And just helping you guys elevate your customer experience, really, because at the end of the day, that's what makes you unforgettable. And it's what causes your referrals to explode like wildfire. And so Kelly's going to give us some insight. He is a successful HVAC coach. He's got an awesome name. I love it. The HVAC Millionaire. And he can say that because he exited a business successfully after 14 years doing multiple seven figures. Which, you know, I'm actually going to have him talk about that because I think it's important to have a succession plan in place and just be thinking about that. As scary as that, you know, eventual event can be, there's some ways to prepare for it. And now he just felt like the next logical step is to turn around on that trail and kind of lend a hand to, those coming into the industry so that we can have more longevity in this industry and just good, reputable entrepreneurs out there doing great things in our local community. And that's really what this podcast is all about. So my hope is if we're giving you good value, that you hit that like button, that you decide to subscribe as we continue to interview industry experts to help you just get that leg up, that insight that you're looking for in your business to just kind of go to the next level and continue to serve your community. So with that, Kelly, I'm excited that you're here, buddy. And maybe you can kind of walk us through just to kind of kick things off, right? Because I love the way you just talk so authentically on your YouTube channel about, you know, what it was like to be the owner of an HVAC company, the stresses that you undergo. And so maybe you can just share a little bit just because, I mean, maybe there's some people that are, you know, finding us for the first time, or maybe this is the first time, you know, I know you're a big proponent of personal development. Maybe this is the first time that they're kind of reaching out to find some content. Maybe this got put in front of them. But for those who are maybe kind of going, hey, is what I'm feeling, is it normal or am I a total unicorn? Maybe you can just shed a little bit of light on, you know, what that emotional process and maybe some of the stress that goes into running a successful business so that maybe they can know if they're on track, off track, or, you know, they need some help. They got to reach out to somebody. What would you have to say to maybe somebody like that?
Well, the first thing I would say is that you're not alone. As lonely as it may feel, you are not alone. There are multiple hundreds of thousands, probably, you know, at least tens of thousands of other business owners out there that are quite possibly experiencing or have experienced these same exact stresses, pains, irritation, frustrations, as you have, or you currently are, quite possibly, if you're listening to this and you're trying to figure out, like, how do I make this thing work? And so I love what Chris said there. You know, it's like determining whether you're on course or off course. That's really a valuable lesson to just consider, because when it comes to everything is feedback. A really great coach once told me everything is feedback, everything. So really think about that. Really think about, like, every little thing that's happening in your life is feedback to something that you did, something you thought, something you said, something, you know, it's just feedback. And so if we just start accepting that where we are right now, what's happening in our business, what's happening in our life is just feedback for you to take in and to determine whether you want to continue to do what you're doing and keep getting what you're getting, or if you decide that maybe you want something different. Because if you want something different, then we have to make a different decision. We've got to course correct. You know, we've got to, my favorite thing is one of the, you know, when I was 34 or 35 before I actually read a book that wasn't like assigned to me in high school. You know, I'm a late bloomer. And so I read The Old Man and the Sea, I think, and I hated it. And then my wife, had a, I think it was a Stephen King novel that she wanted me to read because she loved it. And I read it. I just didn't like it. I couldn't get into it. I read it for her, but I couldn't get into it. And after that, I always thought what I always thought, like, man, reading's not for me. I just don't like reading. Like, I didn't enjoy it. Well, then I picked up a book because I got to such a place in my business where I was so stressed out. I wasn't making any money. My relationship's falling apart. I'm starting to get injured. You know, I tore a piece of my pec in a crawl space. You know, just, we were just crushing this job and I was full of energy and we were knocking it out. And then this happens, you know, I get injured and I finished the work day. And a couple of days later, I decided I probably better go to the doctor for this because it wasn't going away. But anyhow, I had a bulge disc that created sciatica. So I couldn't walk but 20 steps at a time. I'd have to squat down and lean over just to relieve the pressure. Slept on the couch for 4 months. Finally bought an inversion table. And that, after going to the chiropractor and the doctor just said, you know, it's a bulge disc. You have sciatica. We can do some x-rays. But I see multiple of people come in per week with the same thing. This is what you have. And so surgery wasn't like an option. I had a business to run, you know?
Yeah.
And so I did the inversion table, eventually got better. But, you know, I wasn't making any money. Like I said, my relationship's falling apart. My health's deteriorating. My mindset is complete crap. And I was just desperate and I was searching. I knew things had to be, there was a possibility that things could be different.
Yeah.
And when you see other people out there winning and doing well in life and business, then it gives you some inspiration. I hope, you know, maybe motivates you to at least look at your life and say, God, if they can do it, because there's people who went through worse things than I've gone through and they made it. So if they can do it, why not me? I started like asking myself that question, like, why not me? Why can't I start creating a life that I really enjoy and a business that actually works? And so I read The Success Principles by Jack Canfield. And all of a sudden I loved reading after I read that book because it was my jam. That's what I get. Yeah, that's what, like, it lit me up. It was like my religion, you know, it gave me hope.
Yeah.
And at times I felt hopeless. I was so in such a deep place in my business, but it gave me hope. And once I had hope, I read in that book, E plus R equals O. And that's really what we're talking about, on course and off course. We all, you know, if once you start studying personal development, I think I was just sharing before the podcast started that I'm reading this for the first time. I tried to read it, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. I tried to read it when I was younger, years later after The Success Principles by Jack Canfield.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't get through it. It's kind of a tough read the way it's written. I'm actually enjoying it now, but I read The Success Principles, learned this equation, events plus response equals your outcome. And so everything that was happening around me, you know, not being able to pay my bills, my relationship falling apart, my injuries, those are all events. And as long as I continue to respond to those events the same way that I've been responding, I'll keep getting the same outcomes.
Yep.
And so I learned that events are going to happen no matter what.
Right.
And we have a choice.
Yeah.
No, it's what he calls stimulus and response. There's stimulus and response. And the events are going to happen. A lot of these events we cannot control, but we can control. Instead of being reactive to the things that happen, we can be proactive, or we can choose a different response to get a different outcome. And so I started choosing different responses. It's like I can keep charging what I'm charging in my business, which creates lack of money, more month, you know, left at the end of the money. and then it creates stress and, yeah, like fear and all of these things, which doesn't allow me to show up the way I'd like to show up every day in my business or for my family. And so I could keep doing that, or maybe I, you know, change my response. So I have no money is the event, basically. Yep. let me charge a little bit more. Let me determine, let me learn more about business and what I'm going to need to charge in order to create a different outcome. So I charge a little more, and then all of a sudden I can pay my bills. I get a new outcome. I mean, it's literally feedback. It goes back to what we started with. It's feedback. Not being able to pay my bills, or struggling to pay vendors, or struggling to find people or train people or keep people, or struggling to build my reputation and get collect reviews. That's feedback. So if you continue to not ask for reviews, or you continue to ask for reviews the wrong way, for instance, you're going to keep not getting reviews. That's not the outcome you want. That's just feedback. So now I can go in, I can look at it, and I can say, hey, I want something different here. Let me change the way I do it. Let me ask a different way. Let me talk to Chris. He knows about reputation. He knows how to collect reviews. And all of a sudden, you change up the system or the process in which you were asking for reviews. And now all of a sudden you get different results. And if those aren't the results you like, change your response again.
Yeah.
You literally have the power to change and direct and create the life that you want to live, the business that you want to live in. But it's all up to you. And most people, and I'm guilty. I was in this pain for many years. That's why I'm so passionate about this subject. Yeah. I just want to help other people. I started the YouTube channel. It's hard for me to believe. It's been 8 years I've been on YouTube.
Wow.
And it was because I was in so much pain. And just as I learned little things, I wanted to share them. So just in case it helps somebody else out there, maybe avoid some of the pain that I was going through.
Kelly, I love what you're getting at there too. Cause I think, first of all, I think people need to know if you have started a business, right? And I think we touched on this, right? There's business owners and there's entrepreneurs. Like there are different things, right? It's just that whole E-Myth Revisited. There's the technician versus the manager and all those kind of like personalities or personas that you kind of got to like meld into one. But I love what you're talking about. And I think this was the biggest impetus, you know, for me to kind of go on my own sort of personal development journey. And like you said, I think it's interesting that personal development, I think oftentimes like is married very closely to reading. Cause I was in the same, like, I remember being in the third grade, right? And they put all the stars up, right? And all the girls have like 36 stars. And there's like me who feels like an idiot with like 3 stars. And I'm like, I can't read. I'm not good. I'm slow. All my testing was bad. It was just like, the whole system was reinforcing it. Right. And then eventually you get to a place in your life where you just kind of get fed up with things, you know, staying the same. And then you open a book and you're like, oh my God, does anybody have any idea the amount of like insight and information that's in here? Right. So that's cool. And I'd encourage anybody to just kind of pick up a book. Obviously Absolutely. I think, you know, it matters which one it is, like, you know, something from the Twilight series, probably not going to get you there. Right. But
right.
I think, you know, and I've been, you know, as you were talking about, right, this is all feedback, and you almost have to look at it like it's really hard, especially as an owner, because everybody's looking at you to make the call, to make the answer. And there's a lot of times where you're sitting there in your head, scared out of your mind, going like, I don't know the right answer. And I don't even know if like what I'm going to suggest would even be close to being good. Right. So I think there's the fact of like, hey, how do you objectively look at all this stuff? And for me, it's been a big dive recently, because now we're pregnant with number 3. It's like, dude, there is so much emotion in a house of like, you know, 3 kids plus 2 adults, right? To like, just be able to be like, okay, I've got my Zen moment on, right? And I can be dad and I can figure this all out. Meanwhile, you know, I got invoices to pay. I got people who aren't paying, you know, like all this other kind of stuff in the business, right? But so objectively being able to like, look at all that, like you're talking about, is those events, right? And then your response to it, making sure that that response is not an emotional response, but like a logical one. Like, obviously you got to be passionate and think, but I think ultimately where you get stuck is when you're like, I've got to be the guy with all the answers. And what a wellspring of like relief. And I think like vision for something greater when you actually start to lean on somebody else, which I know in our society can seem like, you know, weakness and, you know, you're vulnerable and all this other kind of stuff. But I love what you're really getting at there is that sometimes you just got to reach out to somebody. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can be a coach. It can be a consultant, right? There's, you know, definitely programs and stuff like that. But I think that's such an important piece. So, I know.
And real quick, Chris, exactly what you just said, that holds a lot of people back, because nobody can do it like you. Like you are the technician. You're amazing. Awesome. You know, in our industry, like one quick little thing is there's a lot of business owners out there who are who crush it right out of the gates.
Yeah.
And not all the time, but what I see, at least on social media and stuff, a lot of the times is not all the time, but sometimes these people were in sales before they got into the business. And so they were used to not getting, like, they don't get a paycheck if something doesn't get sold.
Right.
Well, where technicians, they're paid their hourly rate before they start their own business. They're, like, they're going to get a check no matter what. And so the sales guys come out and start a business and they just crush it because they understand that if I don't sell, my business doesn't survive. I don't get to eat.
Yeah.
Where the guys who are technicians turned, you know, business owners, they struggle because they've always gotten a check no matter what. Well, now it's actually them paying for all the expenses. They're the ones who are responsible for delivering the entire service. Versus being able to hand things off to the dispatcher or hand things off to the sales guy. And so but you do have to get to a point where you are going to have to lean on somebody else. There's no question about it. And you can't continue to have a choice.
Yeah.
You can continue to maintain control and keep piling things on your plate, because as the business grows, your responsibility grows.
Yep.
Or you can decide to grow, like make the decision and say, I'm going to hand off some of these responsibilities to somebody else, you know, who can actually help me. So it's really a choice, you know, back to feedback. I mean, it's a choice, but a lot of people are so scared to, and we've had people come in and say, like, God, well, what if I send this new technician that I hire to a call and they lose me a $20,000 sale?
Right. Yeah.
I get your fear around that. You know, if you're in that position, you're just starting out to hire people and delegate some stuff. I understand where you're coming from, but on the other hand, a good technician is going to make you money. Yeah. And you know what? You've made mistakes when you work for somebody else. You've lost money for companies before. I guarantee you they're going to lose money for you.
Yeah.
But they're also going to make money for you. And they're also going to free up some of your time. Or allow you to spread your wonderful service to more customers. Because as long as they share the same values as you, and you have a process that kind of keeps this in a bundle to where it is being delivered every time, well, then you're saving customers. You know, a lot of times technicians turn business owners want to save the customer as far as not charging them what they need to charge. That's a mistake. What we need to do, because they're so good at what they do and they care about people so deeply, is that we do need to grow. We need to transfer our values into the people that come join us. That way we can save more customers from all the other people out there who don't care, who give the taillight warranty special, right? When the taillight's out of the driveway, the warranty's over, right? So there are a lot of companies. I know everyone out there can all agree with me. In your market, you have some shady people doing business. Well, your customers in your market, in your area, deserve to have better service than that. So it's your duty, it's your responsibility to be that person. And the only way that you're going to be able to reach more people is to expand your team and grow your team. So there's headaches with expanding your team, but there's also a lot of headaches without expanding your team. And the way I figure it is the odds are stacked against you anyways in business. It's tough. Most businesses fail. That's reality. And so we might as well try to grow it and have it be worth something and actually get to a point where we're not trading every single minute of our day, all of our time, just for the business, you know? So, and that takes delegation. So, and, you know, SOPs, you got to have some standard operating procedures.
Yeah. So that's something I want to dive kind of like a little bit deeper into, right? Is like, I think a lot of people can like understand like, I know I've got too much control and I want to give it up, but you know, they're constantly, you know, struggling. And I think you also hit on a great point too, right? And this was something I had to realize as an entrepreneur, like you come into this and you've got your own sort of like skill set, right?
Yeah.
So which lends it to other things, right? And so you're going to have natural strengths in certain areas, right? But then you're also going to have weaknesses in other areas. And I think the easiest thing for most people is like, well, I suck at sales. I'm just going to hire a sales guy. Well, yes, that could be good, but you also kind of need to know like why and how to like sell, because that's such an important piece in what's kind of going on, so that you can, so that you can evolve yourself and not, because the problem is then, like, let's say you get this, you know, awesome salesperson, and he comes and he does a great job, right? But then he moves away, right? Like, let's say that he's super happy and he's crushing, right? But then he moves away, and then boom, like your whole business just like falls on its face. So like, I think there's an important piece to like round yourself out, make sure if you're sending them the sales training, maybe you're participating in it, but maybe you can talk to the fact of like, okay, somebody kind of fessed up. They're like, dude, I need help. Right. What would you say for that control type freak, which I think is every business owner ever, right? Is what would be like that next, maybe, I mean, there's the logical step, but what's the next like emotional and logical step to kind of take, so that they don't go into a place? Cause I think it's easy to get into a tailspin, right? One wrong hire, man. And you're like, I suck at that. I can't do that ever again. Right. And then 3 years later, you know, they're burnout, the business is gone, and they could have just, you know, maybe, you know, circumvented that. So what are your thoughts on maybe what that next logical step for somebody who realizes they're in that position, might that be?
Well, you know, if you're in that position, you have a certain way of doing things. Yeah. If you had a sales guy who, you know, in order to not like put all your eggs in one basket or have your whole basket like leave, like with the sales guy, because they were producing so much for your company. If you don't have a sales process or a way to track how that sales process is going, as far as conversions, if you're not paying attention to those things, then how will you ever be able to recreate that? You know, I mean, I can go to California or Pennsylvania or Michigan or Florida or Costa Rica for that matter. And I can go to a McDonald's and I know what I'm getting. Right. You know, they may call it something slightly different on the menu, but I know a Big Mac is going to be roughly a Big Mac in Costa Rica. And it's probably going to be the same. And the only reason that that's possible is because they have processes that they follow. And so, before you make a hire of any kind, you have to know what the responsibilities are, what your expectations are of that person. What do you expect? Like, what do they have to come in and do in order for you to be able to afford their salary or their hourly wage? What is needed? Otherwise, you know, it can cost you a great deal of money in your business if you make a couple of bad hires. And also, if you hire somebody with the wrong attitude who just brings you down, and all of a sudden you feel like you're walking on eggshells every time you're around them, who wants to work in that type of environment? Nobody. Right. Yeah. So all of these things matter, and there are hiring processes. You know, I've found a hiring process that's based off of Brad Smart's top grading. Mm-hmm. And there's a book by his son called Who. And if you have not read that book, read that book, because there's a great hiring process in there that just helps you understand that the more we can vet out in the beginning, the less likely we are going to make mistakes, you know, on that hiring that person. But before you hire anybody, the thought process to me is, I'll say one more thing too, is that first, know what the responsibilities and roles, like I said, of the and what are the KPIs that you're going to track? What has to happen for this company, for this person, to make them successful in your business? And then the second thing is to make sure that, and I lost my train of thought. Make sure that they are a good fit culturally, so they match your values. That way they'll match your culture. But also just to make sure that they're going to do, I guess, what you need them to do. I lost my train of thought. I know I was, because
it'll probably come back, but
yeah, it'll come back. So
what I was going to highlight there that I think was powerful, what you were kind of saying, right? Is like, you know, writing down all that stuff that needs to get done. I think sometimes that can be the the impetus for you realizing and recognizing that, like, oh shoot, I really do need to hire somebody, right? So I think sometimes you, at least for me, like always that next hire is always like, well, do I really need that person? I don't really know. But then I go and okay, what would I have them do? What are all the tasks that I'm doing right now that I would have them do? And then you start to write it down, right? And I think that's an important piece. And then kind of going, how much time do I think I really like allocate to that every week, right? And then I think you start to realize like, oh, okay, shoot, like there's a lot, like a lot of hours that I'm burning on these tasks that don't need to necessarily be done by me, so that you can stay in that more creative space of like working on the business as opposed to in the business, right? So I think just going through that exercise, like you're talking about, of writing all that stuff down, it doesn't even have to be in like a formalized like SOP, right? Like you do this, then you do this, but just kind of saying, hey, like what are the, you know, what are the duties as assigned or whatever, you know, the joke that you always put at the bottom of anything, and duties as assigned, right? Like I can make you do anything, like fetch me coffee or do my dry cleaning or whatever. Right. But
yeah.
I think that's an important piece to realizing that you need that person. Right. And then another thing that I've always heard and lived by is like, and you were getting to this, or you were talking about this, right? Is like hiring slow, but firing fast, right? Because I think that's I think people do it in the opposite direction, right? They hire really quickly. Oh, yeah. Because it's like, oh, I just need a body. I just need a warm body to just answer the phones. And they can just, I mean, it's so easy, right? You just answer the phone and you book the call, right? And it's like, whoa, yeah, okay. Let's talk about first impressions. Like, I mean, yes, there's the online first impression, but then what's your actual like interaction first impression, right? But instead kind of having that mindset of like, no, dude, if somebody is losing you money, or like you said, you're walking on eggshells with them, like that person needs to go, because they're affecting more than just like your own emotional, like energy around them. Like there's other like implications. So,
yeah. So I've jogged my memory.
I knew it would come back.
It's actually three things. So,
not just one. Yeah, all right.
Not just two. I initially said two, but you know, having a hiring process to try to vet the best you can to pick the right person. And you're not always going to hit that 100% of the time. I'll just tell you right now, but you can do better. Number two is having your processes, you know, in place for that person to learn. And so that you can duplicate the results that you've been able to get. This is why it's so important that you go out and learn how to sell yourself. That way you can know and be able to spot what maybe the next person that joins your company isn't doing, or, you know, to help them get better results, to be able to coach them and train them and manage them. And the third one is, I see it all the time. People are just waiting for the perfect person to walk through their door who has 10 years experience and they're licensed and they're ready to jump in a van and go to work. Well, ask yourself, why would a person like that come work for you?
Yeah.
Because chances are if they've got that experience, they're already working for a reputable company or a bigger company that has way more to offer, quite possibly, than you can offer them at the time. So how are you going to combat that? Like, what are you going to offer? What makes you different? What's something that's attractive to somebody, say in your position, if you're a technician or you were a technician before you opened your business, if you were going to leave, or if you ever changed companies before, why did you leave, and what were you looking for? And how can you be that to somebody who might be in that same position that you are in? Maybe they're not ready to start a new business, but they're just tired of the environment that they're working in and the lack of opportunities. And a young business that's growing is, you know, it's a tremendous amount of opportunities if you get
exciting too.
If you join on the right team, you know. So that book, I don't know if I said it, but I'll say it one more time. Who is by Jeff Smart, which is Brad Smart's son, who wrote Top Grading. So that book, it's real short, quick read, but it'll change your perspective on how you see hiring. So we just unpacked a ton of stuff right there, but it's
chew on that, go back, record or re-release into it. And I think that's always exciting too, when you can, I mean, that's, I feel like if you can kind of, you were talking about this, right? It's like reading seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Like anytime you read a book a second time, which I always thought was so stupid. It's like, you read the book once. Why would you ever put yourself through the agony of reading a book again? But you know, I'm rereading Alex Hormozi's $100 million offers, and I'm like, man, I missed so I got this much out of it last time, which was, you know, in terms of like what depth is in there, right? And you just got to kind of keep rereading that kind of stuff, which is powerful.
the first book that I read that I told you that I actually decided, hey, this reading isn't so bad when I read The Success Principles. Yep. I literally I finished the book, right? I finished it. I flipped it back over and just started over.
That's awesome.
Because it was that impactful to me. It made that big of a difference. And I wanted to implement more of the principles into my life. And yeah. The next book I found, I don't know how I found it, but Think and Grow Rich. Every time I reread that book, I have a different perspective. I learned something new. So reread, you know, there's a couple of really good books. I think even Alex Hormozy talks about this. He's like, you know, I'm sure I've watched a video where he said like, there's 10 books that
he literally did. Yep. I've watched the video too.
I study these particular books. I don't just go through them and never read them again. He studies them. And so I think there's so much that you just don't catch when you read it the first time, and you might not have been ready to receive it.
Sure. Right.
And so it might not have been relevant at the time. But now maybe you are open to it, or maybe you've learned something else and now it makes it relevant. And so you can actually apply it. And so there's so much to be gained. I just think of books as like, it took somebody, like, think of Napoleon Hill, and he was hired
30 years. It was like 20, 30 years, something.
Yeah. Of studying successful people. And so they put all this into a book that you can read in just a couple of days. That was a decade of learning, of applying, of getting results, good and bad, and figuring out what worked and what didn't. And it's just silly not to think that just because you paid $25 for a book doesn't mean it's not worth $1 million.
Right. Yeah. Well, and the one I was going to say that I've read the most is Think and Grow Rich. Like, I think I'm on my like eighth or potentially ninth read. And I was reading in another book, I can't remember which one it was, but they were talking about like, you have this rhythm when you read where there's like this spike. And then if something hits you and it spikes your thought, you actually engage with that. Now you're still like unconsciously reading. So you'll actually miss the information after it because that one piece. So in a way it's almost like, you know, going back through, you kind of reset that, and then you're going to spike at different things because you need different things out of that book. Right. And I think that's just so cool when that actually does happen.
That makes so much sense. That makes so much sense. I'm literally just reading that part of Seven Habits, Highly Effective People. And he's talking about the left brain and the right brain, left brain being analytical, the right brain being creative. And it's when you have those different insights and stuff that the right brain fires up, and it can kind of change the way you think. It's just how like transformation can happen. So you're completely right. That's the reason why every time you read it, there's something new that pops up that just is relevant to you at that time. And it's one for me, you might be up on me on that. I think I've read it six times, but it's one I always come back to because it's so good. So
well, and I think that's another thing too, right? It's like, I think sometimes you can beat yourself up. You'd be like, oh man, I didn't get that much out of that book. And you'd be like, well, no, you actually got exactly what you needed to get out of that book, right? Like at this time. So being okay with, number one, reading the book again, but also realizing like, hey, okay, maybe this book didn't resonate with you as much this time as it will in the future. And so like just having a library, like you've got, you know, behind you, right? I think is so important so that you can go back and physically kind of touch that book. And, you know, books are so important too, because I think they get you outside of yourself and outside of your current predicament, where I think a lot of us like to, you know, wallow in maybe the muck and the mire of our emotional like distress. And we always make things worse than they are. And that's why it's always great to have a coach that kind of goes, hey dude, like it ain't that bad. We've got a solution. Let's figure it out. Let's follow through. And I think books can help you kind of get a little bit more of a future look. And to your point about like, you know, literally decades or people's experiences like distilled into a book, like why wouldn't you want to have, you know, lots of those? And it's okay to make people in your office read those as well. And the last thing I was going to say on the hiring thing before I move on, because I want to ask you about, you know, kind of that business succession plan that you were pointing out, is like, I think a lot of people almost look too much at like the resume. And I think the stats are in that like 50% of people lie on the resume. So like, why are you even looking at that anyways? Right. Like for me, it's always kind of like the old eyeball test. Like I want to do you meet my eye line, Jim, you know, kind of thing in that sense of like, does this person seem truthful to you? Do they seem hungry to you? Right. Which I know is like really hard with us millennials of like finding somebody who feels like they're hungry. Right. And I think it's just, there's a higher level of engagement, right? They've been plugged into cable, you know, internet since they were born. Right. So like, they're just so hungry. They need information so fast. But finding somebody who's got those baseline of like, you know, focus, attention, discipline, you know, they don't even need to be energetic per se. And these aren't really like good, like the qualities that you'd need, but I think somebody who's willing to grow into that position. And I think also being excited that like, hey, this person isn't bringing a lot of baggage to my business. Instead, they're kind of a blank slate that I can build into the person that I want to showcase my business, you know, to help me build that reputation, to get that word out and really just be a amplification of what we're trying to build here. So I think that's an important piece.
That's why, you know, all the time people are just waiting for that perfect person with all this experience. Well, my point is to,
you don't want them.
Like find somebody with a great attitude and and a good character and go ahead and start now, hire that person and start training them. Let them ride with you every day. You know, how much time, how many steps, I look at it this way too. Like how many steps can a helper save you every day just by being a gopher? That's how I started in the industry. Yeah, I was a gopher. Hey, you need a part, I go for it. You know? And so that's what I did. I threw up the ladder 6 times a day. I ran up and down the ladder to go to my father-in-law's truck to grab whatever he needed. And so that saved him. When I first started, working, so I got married in 1996, and I went to work for my father-in-law because he had a heating air conditioning business, and he had what I was dealing with. When I was telling you about my injuries, he had sciatica, he had a bulged disc at the time.
Yep.
And so in the afternoons we would come back to his little shop, and he had a cot in the back, and he'd have to lay down on the cot just to rest for a little while and relieve his sciatica. Well, within a couple of months of me working for him and throwing the ladder up every day and carrying all the heavy stuff, just being a gopher, his back was able to heal, and he was able to, you know, not have to stop and rest anymore. And he's been pretty good ever since. I mean, ever so often, I think it flares up on him, but just think of that. Like how many steps can they save you? And you might as well start building somebody right now, because the chances of that perfect person walking through your door and joining you that early in the business, I'm not saying it's not possible and not to try.
Right.
But the chances are slim. Yeah. And so you might as well start building your own team of your own people that hold your values and do things your way, because you're the only one who taught them.
Yeah.
You know, now eventually those will be the people that will teach the new people that come on board, because they're so ingrained in your way of doing things and your values and your culture and that you've built. You know, whether you think you have a culture or not of one person, you do.
You got it.
You have values. You have things that you care about and things you don't care about. And you've got things that were ingrained in you from childhood that, you know, mean something to you, something you're passionate about. And so when you start passing that on, and here's the thing too, a lot of young people, when they join the business, I read this, I don't remember where I read it, but I believe it wholeheartedly, is that our jobs as employers is to finish the job that the parents didn't finish.
Yeah.
A lot of times we have to, when they're younger people who join us, and it don't matter if they're 30, they may have never grown up with the values, the work ethic, the attitude, the mindset, the skills. Like, not everybody's born with all these things, and not everybody's raised in an environment where it's important, I guess. And so it's our job as an employer to finish the job, like help these people grow as individuals. Because I know that when you're growing, there's two things, like what Tony Robbins says. It's like there's only two things which are kind of the spiritual side that make you feel fulfilled in life, and it's growth and contribution.
Yeah.
When you're doing those two things, you'll feel fulfilled. Yeah. And so, like, contribute into your team, give them what they need, you know, give that helper a chance, give them a shot. We need people in our industry. We need more people to take chances on people and bring them, hire people. Stop, just trying to do everything yourself.
Agreed. Well, that's only the only way the industry is going to grow. And I think also too, just with the lack of, you know, young people wanting to get into the trades, right? I think we have to be a little bit more accepting, and I'm not trying to get into woke culture or any of that craziness, but just in the sense of just being willing to work with somebody, right? Because I think there's so many youth, so much youth out there that is excited and hungry. And I think that they kind of get, you know, labeled, you know, unfairly about it. It's just they've never channeled that energy in one focused direction for so long because nobody's been in their life as consistently as you might be, right? And so, you know, I know it's like that's a lot of weight to put on one's shoulders, like thinking about, you know, but you're shaping the next generation. I think that's absolutely part of the excitement of being an entrepreneur, right? Is being able to bring up, you know, because one of your techs might also, you know, at someday, you know, hopefully they don't become your competition per se, but they might go and start their own company, right? Or, you know, they might succeed you, right? And that's the next thing I want to talk about here before we end, right? Is like, you might be grooming your successor, the person who's going to buy your business, because maybe your kids aren't interested in, you know, the path that you've chosen, right? And wouldn't it be sad to have that all, you know, turn out for naught? Just because you weren't willing to like invest in somebody who really was eager, but you know, maybe there's just a little bit of trash on top of that, you know, that gold mine, so to speak, and really kind of getting in there. So, with that, Kelly, I'd love to maybe you kind of walk us through, what your process, and it doesn't have to be an excruciating detail, but I think it's important, especially for like our older listeners or even, you know, our young listeners who want to, you know, like Stephen Covey says, you know, begin with the end in mind. Like, what does having that succession plan look like? You know, where might somebody start? You don't have to walk through all the steps per se, but I think just maybe just some components of it that would help somebody like start to get moving in the right direction, so that they could have some success in that transition, whether that is to a family member, you know, or it's to a friend, or it's, you know, to somebody else who wants to buy the business, you know, outright. So yeah, I'd love your insight on that.
Well, you might call me crazy on this first one, but it's just like there was a time before you started your business that you thought about starting your business, you know, like everything gets created twice, you know, first it's created in your mind and then it's created in reality. And so your first thoughts of like, you know, first I would just say is to make sure that you are putting it out there. Like it becomes a thought in your mind. But I love to begin with the end in mind. You know, we do want to look in the future, and make sure that we are thinking about how we want to build this and structure it to where it might be not only advantageous, but attractive to another company out there or in our area that might be interested in purchasing our company. So how my thing started was just, I had gotten into coaching and course creating. I've been doing the YouTube thing for so long that became like what I'm super passionate about. And even though my business would run without me, like I could leave for 2 weeks if I needed to and nothing, you know, no, we didn't miss a beat or anything. I still felt like I needed to be there all the time. Like it was like, it's just me. Yeah. Like I know it wasn't, but it's just because it was my baby and I wanted to take care of my baby. I wanted to make sure nothing fell through the cracks. And so, I just knew that just with my personality that someday for one, the passion drove me to it was because of the extra free time that I was able to create within my company for myself after many, many years of having no free time and working myself to death. Because of that, that's what allowed me to expand my possibilities into what I wanted to do or, you know, thinking about the rest of my future. I knew I didn't just want to own a business for forever. Own an HVAC business forever. I knew I didn't want to do that but having that space to be able to think through this and find out where my passion really lies, that's where I got into coaching. And so I started doing the coaching a couple years before the business sold. But at the same time that I was doing that a couple years before the business sold, I went and talked to a lawyer a succession planner just to see what are my steps? Yep. What are the possibilities? How does this whole thing work? And I'm no expert at this whatsoever. I've only read a couple of books on it as well. And everything I read in the book pretty much was false. I'll just tell you that. My business, they tell you, like, be sure to plan. And, you know, this could either business sales in cycles, and you might miss this cycle and you might have to hit the next one. Man, I'm telling you, there's always somebody out there. If you run a good business, there's somebody out there who will be interested in purchasing you. And so this was just, I started taking the steps necessary for this, or to move myself into a position where it was possible. But what made it so smooth when the opportunity arose is that my books were in order. I had a good brand. I rebranded myself in 2019. We started off, you know, we changed our name and our brand and everything. And that brand, I believe, is attractive to an outside buyer. And, you know, we had full wraps on our vehicles. And so you noticed our vehicles when they were driving out around town. Yeah, and so I think, and I what I learned just through other coaches is that every 8 to 12 years or so, it's probably time to rebrand. You don't have to completely change your name like I did. But you do want to look into it, because if you just go online, just go on Google and look at Pepsi's branding over the years, just search Pepsi branding over the years, you're going to see how many different iterations of the Pepsi logo there have been. It's astonishing when you look at how many times they've changed. And Coke's the same way. All these major brands, they always, like, they're constantly innovating, you know, their logo and brand, like making it just a fresh new look. And I think our businesses need to do the same. So I did that, and I believe it became, I also talked about it. So not only did I put it out there, and then I started taking action. I went and talked to a lawyer, and then I started taking action on what the lawyer told me to do. Yeah. And then I talked to other people about it, which was one of our sales reps from one of the supply houses. And the sales reps, as everyone knows, they have a group of dealers that it's assigned to them, that they're there to take care of those accounts. And because I had had lunch with him and shared what my future, what I wanted my future to be, to eventually exit so I could do coaching and, you know, content creating full time and writing. I like to write. I'm actually writing a book, another book right now. So, put it out there. And then what do you know? Somebody that one of the other dealers was interested in purchasing a company. And so he reached out to me and said, "Hey, would you mind if I gave you their number?" I said, I'll entertain the idea.
Yeah.
And a week and a half later, I was having lunch with the guy. And then a month and a half later, I'm walking out of my shop with a check. And so it can happen really fast. It does not have to be like, if you read a bunch of books on exiting your company, or everything that I've read in these different business books tell you, like, you know, it can take up to a year to, you know, to make because the company needs to do their due diligence and stuff. But if you're before they're going to make that type of investment, but as long as your books are in order and everything matches up the way it's supposed to, and it's all legit, like, believe me, if you have people that are on the ball, it can go really fast. I was on the ball. Every time they asked me for something, I sent it out within an hour. Like, no matter what it was, or what time of day they sent me that email, I sent it back to them to make sure that I moved this ball up the court as quickly as possible. And so I didn't drag my feet. And because of that, it went really fast. But they were, you know, to their credit too, they were really fast as well. Otherwise it wouldn't have happened as quickly. So I guess I love begin with the end in mind. Think about what you want your business. Yeah, I ask this question all the time when I'm doing like strategy sessions with people who might be interested in joining our coaching program. And, you know, oftentimes the answer I get is like, I just like to add, you know, an install crew, or if I could have 5 trucks on the road, or I want 6 technicians, or, and I'm just, you know, I get what they want when they say that, but I like people to think a little bigger, like start thinking bigger. What do you think about the end of your career? What do you want this business to do for you? What do you want? Do you want to sell it? Do you want to just grow it? Work your tail off for 5 years and get out and, you know, go lay on a beach somewhere? Or do you want to pass it down to your daughter?
Yeah.
And keep it in the family? Or do you just want something that creates some passive income that you don't have to be there all the time and you can start something else that you're really passionate about? Like, you can design it however you want it. You just got to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get clear about what it is that you want, and then we can start taking steps to get there. But without, you know, it's like the old adages, I don't know, like, you know, a vehicle without a steering wheel, or a sailboat without a sail. Like, you're just going to be drifting along in life. And if you don't make a decision on what you actually want, then you're probably not going to get what you want. So decide, make a decision. What would make you happy? You know, that's another thing too, is don't trade happiness what am I trying to say here? You know, keep your happiness in mind. I would just say that. Like, there's a story in a book that I read recently that said this gal, she lived in Arizona, and it's hot in Arizona, you know, long hot summers. And she was really sick and tired of the heat. She just wanted to move somewhere cooler. And so she talked to a mentor, and she, all of a sudden, she worked with kids.
Yeah.
Like, she worked with kids all day long. It was her dream job. She absolutely adored the kids and loved her work. And she got this job offer in Colorado, and she was like, that's what a dream, like, to work in Colorado, to where I can escape this Arizona heat during the summer. But she talked to a mentor, and she's like, I'm torn. You know, I don't know what I want to do. I can stay here, and this is my dream job, and work with the kids who I love and adore. Or the job in Colorado is going to be working with adults. I'm not super passionate about working with adults.
Yeah.
You know, but I would really enjoy the cooler weather.
Yeah.
And so ultimately she thought about it, and she decided that she'd rather be happy than just indulge in some pleasure, basically. Mm-hmm. And so chase happiness, not pleasure, is what I'm sharing, is like, if what you're doing makes you happy, then do whatever you can to keep doing that. I know it's cliche now because we have YouTubers constantly saying and all these motivational people, but man, is it so true. Do what makes you happy. Moving to Colorado might bring her some pleasure, but it's going to be fleeting.
Yeah.
It's not going to last, because she already has her dream job. It just happens to be in a hot area. And so, but the reality is that's what made her happy. So she stayed in Arizona. So think about things like that. Like, if you want to buy a Lamborghini, is that going to make you happy or just bring you some fleeting pleasure? You know, and if it's truly going to make you happy and you've just always wanted one, then go for it. You know, I like Ramit Sethi, you know, the I Will Make You Rich dude.
Oh.
He's like, you know, there's some things in life that the things you value, you'll spend money on. And everybody has something stupid, like that. I say not stupid, but everybody has something that they will spend stupid money on.
Yeah.
Because it's something they value.
Right.
And so if that's something you value, then by all means do it. But if it's something that's you don't value, and it's only going to bring you a little bit of pleasure, then go for happiness, man. If you're peace of mind, if that's going to take, you know, a chunk of your wealth that you're not going to be able to be comfortable with to purchase a Lamborghini, then, and this is just an example, it could be anything, but don't waste your peace of mind, which is where your happiness lies, you know, having, being at peace, for something that's only going to bring you some fleeting pleasure. So anyhow, I rambled long enough on that. So.
No, that's good. I think, you know, kind of as we're wrapping up here, just the idea, like you're saying, of of enjoying it, right? Being in joy and doing it, right? And I think that, you know, so often we think that, like, you know, getting to a place of like sitting on the beach, I mean, for most of us, like, we're so active, we're such doers, the idea of that would literally within days drive us insane, right?
Like, absolutely,
you know, arguably you could do that in your business right now and just say, hey, let me go spend a week on the beach, don't bring any of your technology and see how long you last, right? And it's like, is that really where you want to be? I think is an important piece. And you know, I was just going to nod to the fact that, like, I think this is why it's also so important to have a coach, a mentor, many coaches, many mentors, being part of a mastermind group. There's so many different ways that you can kind of level up your thinking. And, you know, one of my mentors, you know, he said, well, sometimes you just don't know what you want until you know what you can have, right? And like, you don't know what you can have until you see other people and what they've done. And you go, I mean, you might be chasing after one thing, right? And then you see something else that somebody else has, and you're like, oh, like you're talking about, like, hey, maybe you want your HVAC business to just be some passive income that like you're kind of checking in on. It's like, I'm sure there's listeners who are like, wait, scratch that. Like, that's like, you can configure that. Like, yeah, absolutely, right? You just, you've got to get around somebody who knows how to configure a business like that. Cause like, if you've got a mentor and all he does, you know, he's 65 years old, you know, he's on his third marriage, he's got, you know, four kids from, you know, three different women. Like, you just, that's what you're going to get if that's whose advice you're taking. And so it's important, like you said, to like expand. And that can happen anywhere. Like, that could be at an industry event. You sit down next to somebody and you're just kind of like, you know, hey man, like, what's going on? What's going on in your business? I mean, a relationship can start there. I mean, it could start at, you know, you go to, you know, one of these manufacturers, you know, conferences, or you go to, I mean, heck, you could go to a Tony Robbins thing and, you know, they or whatever, right? There's so many opportunities for you to expand your thinking by getting around people who have done things that you haven't done before. And the only way you're going to be able to do them is by learning from somebody who's done it before. Right. So so important. So important.
Every time I get around a group of people like that, man, they make me dream bigger.
Yeah.
I realize just how small I dream, and I've been at this for a while. I got some pretty big dreams, but I get around some of these people and they blow my mind, and it's fascinating. And I love it because they expand and you know what? It's like that old saying. It's like it takes no more energy to dream a big dream than it does a little dream. So it's like, why not dream big? Because you can. I'm one of those people, you know, regardless of what anybody says, is that I do believe you can have it all in life. I believe you, everything. I mean, you can have the great marriage, you can have money in the bank, the great business, the lifestyle. You can do whatever you want to do. There's always, like what Napoleon Hill says, is like, there's something that you're going to have to give, you know, in order to make that happen. And so it's kind of just determining what you're willing to give. But I'm so glad you said that, because there are so many people out there that, you know, have completely shattered, not only business relationships, but their relationships, their marriage, like, they may be good at that one thing, which is business.
Yep.
And I'm the type of person too. And it's not that, like, if they had a divorce or two, but they're still just good people at heart, and they do their best. And, you know, it's like, people can grow apart. We all know that, but on the other hand, like, pick your mentors well. You know, like somebody who's not out there screwing people over, you know, even if they know business and they do, like, I don't want to be associated with certain people, you know, in our industry, HVAC. Yeah. I just don't care to be associated with them. I don't care what it's going to get me. If I was able to just put that aside and work with them, I'm not interested. You know, I want to work with people who are genuine and care about other people and how they're doing and what they're doing, not just be about the almighty dollar. You know, I don't want to work with people like that. So
it all comes down to the
choices. I know we all have to make a living. We all have to make money. I'm not saying that's it's awesome that our industry is a noble profession that people need, but there are some shady salespeople out there who are selling coaching and in this space.
Yeah.
And so I would never, I'm not going to say who I think is shady or not, because that doesn't matter. I'm just saying, like, just pick your mentors well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and get, you know, I know some people are like, go all in on one mentor. And I'm not really for that. I think you ought to maybe two mentors, go all in on two, you know, and, that way you get different perspectives, and whether they're in the same one that's in your industry and maybe one that's outside of your industry.
Right.
You know, so just good. Just keep growing, and do the best you can with who you pick. And, but if you find something out that you're not particularly a fan of, or you don't want to be associated with, well, then also have the courage to move on. It's kind of like having the courage to get rid of somebody who doesn't fit on your team.
Well, and I think, you know, kind of wrapping up is just, like you're talking about there, it's just, it's so important. Like, let's say that you feel stuck right now, right? Or maybe you're just a little depressed or you're feeling burnt out, right? I think the easiest way to kind of get a whole new, you know, tank of gas is to get around other people, dream bigger than you, because they're going to put your problems in perspective for you, which I think will help you dwarf them from what they really are in your mind, just because you're only taking your own counsel. And I think you can find that that's the quickest way to just get moving forward. So kind of taking the next step. And so, you know, with that, Kelly, maybe you can just tell, you know, people like, hey, where can they find you? How can they engage with you? I know you got this whole HVAC playbook thing kind of going on. So maybe you can just talk a little, just real quick kind of about that, just touch on it. So if somebody's interested, they know where to kind of find you, if that's maybe a potential outlet that they're looking to dive into.
Absolutely. Best way to keep in touch, like keep up to date with everything that I got going on, is just follow me on YouTube at HVAC Millionaire. Just follow me there. I always am sharing links in the description of anything new that we're doing. We've got a HVAC Accelerator Challenge happening November 6th. It's a week-long challenge. It's 5 hours of training. If you're a general admission, if you upgrade to VIP or Platinum, you get 10 hours of training. And, you know, it could be the catalyst that transforms your business just by getting in a virtual Zoom room with some other business owners. And we dive deep on any questions answered. And that's really, we're doing the No Slow Season playbook, and that's going to be coming out. We're actually going to train that live, but it will be turned into a recording that you can purchase after the fact. But if you can join the live, that's going to be happening, I believe, November 2nd. We haven't released that yet, or December 2nd. I'm sorry. December 2nd. It's a Saturday. So everybody, don't worry about how full your schedule is. Like, just join. Learn what you need to learn to completely smooth out your slow season before it even gets here. So hopefully, you know, any of those places, you can always reach out to me. Be sure to comment on my videos if you have a question, or you can email me at hvacmillionaire@gmail.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Kelly. We appreciate it. So there you have it, guys. Yeah, of course. Absolute pleasure. We'll probably have you back on, because I think there's so many other subjects that we could touch on for sure. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hopefully you got some nugget of wisdom, something to just kind of move your business forward, move your mindset forward, just re-energize yourself and your life. Again, if you haven't, you know, hit that like and subscribe button. If you're on, you know, one of these podcast channels, we would love a review. Those are so hard to get, and we really do truly cherish them. It's something that helps us get this out in front of more HVAC and plumbing company owners, so that they can be inspired to move forward in their business, make this industry a better industry as a whole. I think everybody wins, you know, rising tide lifts all ships. And so we count on you for that. We're going to work our tail off to make sure that we're bringing better and better content your way, stuff that is relevant to the industry and the times that we're in, especially as the economy continues to shift and change and evolve and all that good stuff along with our industry. And we're just excited that you're here. And thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate your attention, and we look forward to continuing to serve you with another episode. Thanks again. See you.